A procedurally messy meeting of Peterborough City Council on Monday, June 15th, as council were presented recommendations from last week's general committee meeting to be given final approval. Back on the agenda for ratification on the 15th were the city's tourism strategy and community safety plan, as well as the motion introduced last week by Mayor Jeff Leal to cut the city's development charges in half for the next 3 years. Speaking to the tourism strategy, councillors Keith Riel and Alex Burke reiterated concerns from the week before that the plan lacks specific vision in both its aims and roadmap. Said Riel,
"Through the mayor and council, I want to thank staff and the consultants for their work on the tourism strategy. As someone who has always been a strong supporter of economic development, I believe tourism is one of the key pillars of a healthy local economy. It brings visitors, local supports local business, creates jobs, and helps showcase everything Peterborough has to offer. What concerns me, however, is that while the strategy tells us where we want to go, doesn't clearly tell us how we're going to get there. I see the vision, but I don't see the implementation plan, timelines, and costs associated with achieving the goals. Taxpayers deserve to know what investments will be made and what results we can expect. Thank you very much."
Burke's frustrations also stemmed from what he characterized as a disregard for the arts and working artists in the city's tourism strategy.
I just want to pick up from the sort of line of questioning that I had last week on this item, and I share similar criticisms about the strategy, not directed at any staff member, but more so just trying to understand whether or not this is another sort of irrelevant piece of policy that won't actually mean anything in the long run for the thing that it encourages. Irregardless of the answers, the point that I'm trying to make is that here we are paying a consultant to look at how tourism is happening in the city. That consultant has come back to us to say that downtown, arts, events, independent businesses, this is the core driver for tourism in the city. And here we are now, the second meeting where I'm sort of failing to understand what is actually going to happen for these groups by this strategy. Is this strategy actually going to have any change come from it in terms of how we're funding these groups? Or are we just building a bureaucracy in-house with more staff on our side of the street while the groups that were really, you know, that the report pointed to as drawing people to the city aren't receiving any increases in funding by the city?
Despite the stated concerns of some around the horseshoe, however, when put to a vote, the tourism strategy was passed unanimously. Debate of the community safety plan became somewhat mired in a procedural kerfuffle over the inclusion of an item on active transportation. That bullet point was omitted from the final report presented to council, and at the meeting, Town Ward Councillor Joy LaChica motioned to have it put back in.
"Speaking to the community safety and well-being plan, there was something that came up last week that we're dropping the active transportation bullet from the community safety and well-being plan. And, you know, I just think, why drop it? Because it is of vital importance. And I don't think there's anything except an amendment to keep it within the new version of our community safety and well-being plan. That is my motion, if I could do that, Mr. Clerk, through you, your worship."
LaChica's motion was ruled out of order under the city's new procedural bylaw approved in 2026, which requires councillors to submit amendments to motions and meeting agenda packages prior to the meeting as opposed to off the floor. In response, LaChica motioned to suspend regular procedure, which was carried with 8 in favor and councillors Kevin Duguay and Leslie Parnell against.
When we suspend the rules, do we have to be specific about what we're suspending the rules for, or is it a general suspension of the rules for the rest of the meeting?
My understanding from Councillor LaChica, we're suspending the rules to make an amendment.
Councillor Gary Baldwin then raised the question of why the item had been omitted in the first place, to which staff replied that it was already integrated into the report.
"There must have been a reason, Your Worship, between 2022 and 2026 why staff took that out. I'd like some clarification as to why it's coming out as opposed to the amendment that we're wanting to put back in."
"I think the point was made last time that the main elements of the transportation plan outside of the focus from the county, which was significant, that was a significant issue from rural residents, it's embedded elsewhere in the plan."
By this point, procedure surrounding the motion had become snarled, to the point that Mayor Leal, who was chairing the June 15th meeting, expressed confusion as to which motion was on the floor.
Okay. Councillor Riel, to the amendment. Or do you want to speak to the amendment to the amendment? This is becoming somewhat challenging. Councillor Chico, maybe help us out here. Could we just refer back to staff to...
I was just about to say, and that's why I raised my hand quickly.
LaChica ultimately rescinded her motion in favor of motioning to defer the report for staff to bring back with an included active transportation bullet, which was carried unanimously by council. The last item of note on the night of the 15th was the return of the motion on development charges, which Mayor Jeff Leal had presented the week previous during other business. The motion aimed to take advantage of a provincial housing incentive announced on June 1st, which will see the province of Ontario distributing $8.8 billion of federal funding to municipalities who commit to reducing their development charge rates by 30 to 50%, effective June 30th, by June 19th as part of the federal and provincial government's joint housing strategy. The motion inspired considerable debate around the horseshoe when it was presented the previous week, and brought up some of the same concerns on the night of the 15th. Specifically, Councillor Burke asked Financial Services Manager Richard Freemond whether or not it would be possible to revert development charges to their existing levels in the event the city does not receive provincial funding.
If staff come back to us on this date and we haven't received the funding, what ability does council have to revert back to the old DC charge rate?
Your Worship, as I had indicated in the memo that I had sent to Council, there is no off-ramp here. If Council reduces the rates will stay in the reduced 50% rate for 3 years.
Monaghan Ward Councillor Matt Crowley presented 3 amendments to the motion on development charges, aimed principally at having staff report back to Council about the status of the city's funding application, as well as any housing projects launched as part of the initiative.
Thank you, Worship. I actually have 3 amendments that I'd like to move this evening. The first one is the addition of a Clause 7, if I may.
The rest of the horseshoe expressed support for the motion, which the mayor had championed the week before, and the motion would go on to pass as amended by Crowley. What this means is that Peterborough will reduce development charges on new builds by 50% for the next 3 years, as of June 30th, with the hope that provincial funding will reimburse that amount. As of June 16th, there is one full cycle of Peterborough City Council remaining before they take their summer break in July. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Evan Robbins, broadcasting to you through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF in Peterborough.